Turning this evening for a short time to the book of Psalms, the 26th Psalm. We'll read the Psalm together. Psalm 26, again, we welcome you all. Thank you for joining with us in the house of God and those who are joining with us online and then in the church car park. We welcome one and all. Psalm 26, and we'll read the Psalm together. It is a Psalm of David, and it says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, though our time be short, yet, Lord, make it a blessing, and make it, O God, beneficial and profitable for us. And may the Holy Spirit be our great teacher and our great instructor. We seek now thy blessing, the infilling of thy Spirit. For we offer prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The words I turn you to this evening are the words of the psalmist David that we find recorded in the 8th verse of this 26th Psalm. David said, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth." Here we have a psalm of contrast. We find the psalmist speaking about two different congregations, two different gatherings of people. One he does not desire to be with. For in verse 5 he says, "I have hated the congregation of evildoers." And yet in contrast to that congregation, that gathering of people, he speaks here in verse 8 of another gathering of the people of God this time. For he says, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. And then he said, it says in verse 12, "In the congregations will I bless the Lord." Really, this verse, the verse number 8, it speaks of David's personal love for the house of God. He speaks of loving the habitation, the dwelling of God's very house, the place where God's honour dwelleth. I suppose we need to ask ourselves the question, what was it about the house of God that caused David to love it so much? Well, in the first place, let me say what it couldn't have been. In the first place, it couldn't have been the architecture of God's house that caused David to love it. Sometimes we read David when he speaks about the house of the Lord, and what automatically comes into our minds is a temple-like structure. But we need to always remember that it was Solomon, David's son, who built the first temple. Really, the place of God's dwelling in the days of David was a tent-like structure on Mount Zion in the city of David. And so when he speaks here about the habitation of the Lord and the habitation of God's house, he's calling the tabernacle such, that tent-like structure that was constructed in the days of Moses. And as a structure, the tabernacle was certainly never going to win any prizes for architecture. It was a drab-looking building from the outside, covered with various skins, an outer court, and then an inner court, and then the holiest of all. And it wouldn't be until you got in there as the high priest that you would have really beheld the glory of the particular place. But it was still boards covered with gold and also animal skins. That's all it was made out of. And so really it wasn't the architecture, a rectangular tent-like structure. It was simply that which was in David's day when he refers to the habitation of thy house. Secondly, it wasn't the size or the scale of God's house that caused David to love it. The outer court, as the tabernacle, was some 75 feet wide, some 150 feet long. And so as a structure, it was about 10 times less the size of the Great Pyramid there that you see in the land of Egypt. 10 times less size. Now you think of the footprint of the tabernacle compared to the footprint of the Great Pyramid. It certainly wasn't going to, again, win any prizes with regard to the scale or the size of the structure. The important things that it housed, the Ark of the Covenant, the lampstand, the table of showbread, and many other pieces of furniture. The tabernacle's dimensions certainly in no way reflected the significant contents that were contained within this tent-like structure. And so if it wasn't the architecture and if it wasn't the size, what was it about the house of God that caused David to love it in his day? And what should it be that would cause us to love the house of God? Those of us who are found in the house of God, and we trust those who will return in coming weeks and in coming days and in coming months. Well, let me suggest a number of things that may have caused David to love the habitation of God's house. It may be that David loved the house of God because of the pointers to God that he found there. Because of the pointers to God that he found there. In the various materials and structure and furniture, God's habitation housed very much all pointed to the Son of God, to God the Son. For example, the one door that led into the tabernacle reminds us of Christ, who is the door. The door, the only way by which any of us can approach God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must enter in through the door. And so the door points to the Son of God. The altar and the sacrifices on the brazen altar, again, speaks of Christ, who is our altar. And the sacrifice that he offered upon the cross. This is our way of approach, by blood sacrifice. We draw near to God through the blood-sprinkled way. The table of showbread. We see Christ, the bread of life. The one who satisfies the people of God. The one who comes to him hungering finds true satisfaction in Christ, the bread of life. The candlestick. We have again Christ, the light of the world, shedding light upon the mysterious things that we find within the Word of God. And then right into the holiest of all, the Ark of the Covenant, and specifically the blood-sprinkled mercy seat that covered that Ark. And that we see Christ, he is our mercy seat. He is our propitiation. He has provided propitiation for our sins. That sacrifice that has turned away divine wrath. And so all that David would have beheld, or that which he had been told about regarding the tabernacle and the furniture in the tabernacle, all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that may have been the reason why David loved the house of God. The furniture didn't point to the priest, to the officiating minister. No, 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 it all pointed to the Son of God, the great mediator, the great redeemer, the high priest, the king, the prophet of his people. And therefore, as he came to the house of God, he was caught up with thoughts of his God. This is why he loved the house of God. Out in the world, he probably thought little about the Lord. But as he came and as he approached the place of God's dwelling, how his mind was taken up now with his God. And so he loved that place. I wonder, as you come to the house of God this evening, Do you love the house of God because of who you'll meet or the minister who will preach? Or is it that you'll hear about your God? Will you see God tonight? Will you experience his nearness tonight? As the word is opened, will you see him in the word? As you pray, will your heart be caught up with thoughts of the greatness and the grandeur and the mercy and the grace of your God? David loved the house of God because of the pointers to God that he found there. Secondly, he loved the house of God because of the praise of God that he offered there. The praise of God that he offered there. In 1 Chronicles 15 and the verse 1, we find David preparing a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. This is the return of the ark to the capital city, 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And later on in that chapter, David sets in place all the different ministries involved in the temple or in the tabernacle activity, the work of the tabernacle. And he says in verse 16, 1 Chronicles 15, he speaks to the chief of the Levites, and they were to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. And so we have here set in place the praise of God. The tabernacle was to be a place, yes, of slaughter, a place of blood shedding, but it was also to be a place of praise. And all that praise, could I say, all pointed back to the sacrifice that was being made. It was praise that was based upon the redemptive work of Christ that the sacrifices were all picturing and were all types and illustrations of. And so it was redemption that caused these singers to sing with joy. They lifted up their voice with joy. There was what we would call communal praise. And how thrilling it was. Now we know that David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote many of the sacred songs within this book of Psalms. Not them all, but the vast majority are penned by David. He loved singing. The sweet psalmist of Israel. And I'm sure as he thought about the house of God, he thought about these singers. And I'm sure he thought about the praise of God. And how that caused him to love the house of God. A place where God's praise was paramount, was preeminent, was central. And brethren and sisters, we're not here to praise ourselves. We're not here to praise another human being, but rather our praise is to God. And this is what thrilled David. He was going to a place, leaving the world, where they would have been singing about their idols and about their gods and about their desires and their lusts. I'm sure in David's day he spoke about the song of the drunkard. But now we have him coming to the house of God and they're singing the praise of God. Does it thrill your heart to be here tonight? Sing God's praise? I'm sure it does. Something else about this place that David caused David to love it. And that was the prayer to God that he offered there. Mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. That's what God said in Isaiah 56 verse 7. Prayer was offered up to God and through Christ in the house of God. It was part of the priest's ministry to not only to sacrifice but also to supplicate on behalf of the people of God. And yet we have been made priests and kings unto God, and as a result we can offer up prayer to God. This is why we're here tonight. We've gathered for prayer. We've come to the house of God to seek God's face. Prayer answered in the past week and in the past months is most certainly a stimulus to help us to seek God again and to pray to God and to cry to God for his mercy. And David, as he thought about the house of God, he said, I'm going to the place where prayer is offered. That caused him to love the house of God. Oh, that this place would be a house of prayer. And then he maybe thought as he went to the place of worship, and as he thought of it and his love for the place of God, he maybe thought about the people of God that he would encounter there. The people of God that he would encounter there. God's house is where God's people assemble to worship God. It's where we exhort one another as we see the day approaching. It is where we provoke one another, not provoking in a manner that causes fighting to take place within the house of God, but rather we provoke one another to good works as we assemble together. And so it may be that David loved, along with these other things, he loved meeting with the people of God. He was leaving the world behind and the worldling behind. And he was assembling with the true worshippers of Jehovah. And as a result, he just loved meeting with the people of God. I'm sure you've missed being here. I missed you being here. Now we gather together as God's people. May it be ever so that we love meeting with our brethren and sisters. We have different opinions. We have different outlooks in life. Any issue, I'm sure we would mention tonight, I'm sure we could find many levels of opinion concerning that specific issue. But brethren and sisters, we're the people of God. And we've gathered in God's house as his people. And this is what possibly thrilled the heart of David. But there's one last thing. Yes, he loved God's house because of the pointers to God he found there, because of the praise of God he offered there, the prayer to God that he offered up to God there, the people of God that he encountered there, finally the presence of God that he experienced there. God promised to meet with and commune with Moses. And then subsequent to Moses' death, the high priest from above the mercy seat. You can read that in Exodus 25 verse 22. I will meet with you and I will commune with you from off the mercy seat. And then Moses, after receiving all the details of the tabernacle, Beelzebul helping him with its construction, and then Moses rearing up the tabernacle, we're told in Exodus chapter 40 verse 34 these words, then, when all things were in place, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is what David hints at when he speaks in the latter part of verse 8. And the place where thine honour dwelleth. The word honour is glory. The place where thy glory dwelleth. It is the place where God meets with his people. His presence is found when the people of God gather together. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I wonder, does it thrill your heart to think that tonight we are meeting with the Lord? The presence of the Lord needs to be that which causes us to love the house of God. For without it, it is but bricks and mortar, pews and carpet, tiles and floorboards. That's all it is, if we don't know God's presence. And may this house be the place where God is pleased to manifest his glory. And how does he do that? In the salvation of the lost, the restoration of the fallen, and the edifying and the building up of the people of God. I believe that these are some, maybe not all, but these are some of the reasons why David said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. May it be so in our lives. May we love his house, but more importantly, may we love the God of the house. That's the important thing. I trust you do. And may God be pleased then to give us a greater love for him day after day and week after week. May the Lord bless these simple and simple truths to your heart even this evening.